I do thank the Lord for all that he means to me. I'm glad to be his servant. But I do want to give a testimony before I get into the word. The song 300 that was selected is a beautiful song. It has such truths in it, but as a child and a teenager and a young adult, I dreaded when someone decided they wanted to sing this song and that was selected, because it's a long song and it's just, the melody is just kind of monotonous. It's a little bit tedious. But as I became more mature in the Lord, I love this song. And I want to repeat to you what beauty is in this song. So it says, I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years, often hindered in my journey by the ghost of doubts and fears, broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way, but the Spirit led unerring to the land I hold today. I guess that's probably my testimony right there. And it says, the part that says that, whenever, tell me not of heavy crosses nor burdens hard to bear, for I found this great salvation makes each burden light appear. So I'm going to ask you a question. When we have burdens, because life brings us burdens, that's just life, it's going to, who do we have to help us carry it? We have Jesus. We have Jesus to help us carry it. Now, the world has burdens too. Don't be fooled. The devil will try to tell you that you just have burdens just because you're saved. But no, the world has burdens too, because he lays them heavily on people. And who helps carry those? Does the enemy help carry them? No, you're on your own. You're on your own. So I'm going to tell you, this song here is a beautiful testimony of a life well lived. And I'm telling you, this is the best life you can have. So if you don't have Jesus, get Jesus. It's the best life you can have. So that's my testimony this morning. The Lord has given us a little bit of a burden of what will you do with Jesus? And I want us to turn to Jonah, the first chapter, because there are several people that were encountering Jesus, but their responses were different. And there is a proper heart response. But I'm telling you, there's some who did not have that proper heart response. But where are you at this morning? So Jonah, the first chapter, it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish. He had been given a proclamation. He had been given a responsibility. And the first thing he did was go the opposite way. And the story of Jonah has many wonderful things in it, but it also has very tragic things in it. Simply because Jonah was not really, it's kind of a poor excuse of a preacher. It's really what it was. And when I look at that, I'm thinking, what did he do with Jesus? What did he do? He did go away. He did find himself in the belly of a whale or a large fish. He did pray a wonderful prayer that says, oh Lord, now you see me, and Lord, I will do anything you want me to do. And then that happened. He was able to fulfill the proclamation that the Lord had given him, the duty that he had been given. But then he started crying because the Lord didn't destroy Nineveh. And I'm thinking, if you had a grand revival in a large city, would that be your attitude too? What will you do with Jesus? What do you do with Jesus? Do you depart? Because it didn't exactly work the way that Jonah had thought it would plan out. Then he was a little angry about it. But you know, sometimes we kind of feel like we want to figure it out, how God's going to do this. And when he doesn't work that way, we get a little angry too. What will you do with Jesus? So it's been a challenge to me. It's like, oh Lord, I don't want to be a poor excuse of a minister. That's not what the Lord designed this plan to be. Well, Paul, if you'll turn with me to Acts, here's another situation that was encountered. And it's almost some of the most tragic words that I think could ever be said. It's in Acts, the 26th chapter, and Paul has appeared before the court. He has appeared before the magistrates, the government, the high powers. He's appeared before them. He's been very brave. He's been very strong. He's presented the gospel in its purity and in its enlightenment. And he tells them, I wish you were like me, except for these bonds. I wish you could know this Jesus like I know him. It's a beautiful life to live, and I pray that you would be what this would be for you too. And so he was saying this in the 24th verse, and as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, bespeak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I spake freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. We didn't do this in secret. We did this publicly. We weren't afraid to do this publicly, no matter what the cost was, because we're preaching the salvation of Christ. Paul knew what to do with Jesus, didn't he? He knew. Once he had been struck, once he had known what God was, he embraced it fully, and he knew what to do with that. But here's the Festus and King Agrippa. They have a responsibility now. They've heard something. And I said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost persuaded is to be totally lost. Almost persuaded. And I look at those words and think, almost persuaded is to be totally lost. What do you do with Jesus? What did King Agrippa do with Jesus? What did Paul do with Jesus? But most important, what do you do with Jesus? How is it applied in your life? Are you totally convinced? Are you as King Agrippa here, almost persuaded? Not quite there, but I'm almost persuaded. You know, it's a great responsibility, but it's a great joy when you can follow the Lord with your whole heart. In Matthew, we have another sad story, I think. It's one of the saddest stories here, of the rich young ruler. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, in the 16th verse. And it says, And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? This young man was very devout. You wouldn't want a better neighbor than this. You wouldn't have a better employer than this, or an employee than this. This was a man who kept the commandments. He was very devout. He was very careful with his life. He was very careful of his actions, his thoughts, his intents. And he said unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And it's almost as if he's going down the checklist mentally. Check, check, check. I'm good. I'm good on all of this. Check, check. And the young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? There was something else he was lacking. And he's facing Jesus. He is in the presence of the Son of God. Imagine this. To be in the presence of the Son of God. And he's asking him, What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. What a beautiful invitation. From the Son of God, go and sell everything you have and come and follow me. Do you realize what do you do with Jesus? What did the rich young ruler do with Jesus? But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What did the young rich man do? He actually sold Jesus is what he did, because he wasn't willing to sell his possessions. What do you do with Jesus? When you're faced with, when you ask the Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart, are you willing for the answer that he's going to give you? A lot of times we think we know what he's going to say to us, but when the Lord deals with us, he deals it lovingly. Jesus did it lovingly to this man, but he knew there was something There was something there that was more important than anything else. And you know, when he deals with you, he's going to get down in that very secret part of your heart too. And what are you going to do with that? No, I can't do that part. Now I can do all these other things, but that one area, no, Lord, you can't touch that. Because I've done all these other things, but you can't touch, don't touch that part. And the Lord knows where to touch the part that you're holding dearer than Jesus himself. What do you do with Jesus? Well, we also have the flip of that. So let's do that. Isaiah, the 6th chapter. A proper heart response. What is your proper heart response to the Lord? We have a song in our songbook that says, what will you do with Jesus? And it lists all the occasions. And then the chorus that says, I will open my heart's door gladly and crown him there today. That's what we want to say. That's what the Lord wants to hear. So in Isaiah, the 6th chapter and the 8th verse, and also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. I'm here. Me. I'll be happy to go wherever you want me to go. I'll be happy to do whatever you want me to do. I'll be happy to be in whatever situation you want me to be. You know, there's many times that sometimes the Lord calls us to a place of suffering. He calls us to a place of long suffering. He might call us to a place of something very uncomfortable. You know, a thorn in the flesh, Paul had it. He might call you to a place of devastation, of tragedy. He might call you that. You know, sometimes all we think of this is just a missionary effort or a missionary call. But the Lord is calling you, and what are you doing with him? The Lord wants you, and what are you doing with him? He's saying, who will I send? Who do I send for this particular situation? Who am I going to trust with this particular job? Whether it be suffering, whether it be a missionary call, that's a bountiful, wonderful thing. A ministry, what is that? What do you do with Jesus? I mean, we can talk about the responses, the proper heart responses that are in this Bible, but what are you doing with him? How is he affecting your life? Is he everything to you? Or is there just a little small part that you want to keep to yourself? Lord, help us. Zacchaeus was another beautiful example. Luke, the 19th chapter. And the first verse, it says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Some people call him Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. I love the dedication that Zacchaeus had to this call. I can't see him for the people. Do you know sometimes you can't see Christ for people?
Yeah, that's right.
There are some times that you're too busy looking at their lives and you're saying, there's nothing to it. It's just all a bunch of hypocrites. And you need to climb a sycamore tree, just like Zacchaeus did, to get above the people. Because people we're flawed. But the Lord created a perfect salvation plan so that we could be perfect in him. We are not to be flawed in him. We can be perfect in him. And I thank the Lord for that. And I've thought about that a lot of times. All I can see is the back of their heads. All I can see is the sin that they've committed. All I can see is their faults and their failures and how annoying they are to me. But climb a tree so you can get above that. And you can see Christ and what he means to you. And I love this man's response because he was not in a good place. He was a publican. He collected things that were sometimes rightfully his and sometimes not, unlawfully. And he was rich, so that tells you he took more than the right share in that particular instance as a publican. It doesn't mean when you're rich you're deceitful. That's not what that means at all. But there's something to this. He was chief among the publicans, but he wanted to see Jesus because there was something lacking in his life that money could not buy. But he climbed a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he did. He made haste And he came down and received him joyfully. That's a beautiful testimony. What will you do with Jesus? I will open my heart's door gladly and crown him there today. And he made haste, came down, received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest, to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." When the Lord comes to you, he makes a difference.
Yes,
it's supposed to make a difference. He didn't leave Zacchaeus as he was. Zacchaeus became a different man. He stood up and he said, and you know, I marvel. I marvel at people who are willing to accept the salvation, but did you not realize there's a restoration part too of the part that you took from someone? The part that you were wrong in? The part that you caused? That's when you stand up and say, the wrongs that I've committed against someone, I want to give back. I want to restore that. I want to make restitution. Because, Lord, you're more important to me than anything else. And whatever it takes, here I am. Send me. I want to hear your call. I want to be obedient to your call. And I want to make the restitutions of the things that I've done wrong. Because you know what? If you've lived in sin very long, which everyone was born in it, if you've lived in sin very long, you've wronged somebody. And a lot of times, it's easy to see what they did to me, but you forget what you did to them. And the Lord was saying here, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. All those people who murmured were guilty as well. But they weren't willing to make Jesus the focal point of their lives. They weren't willing to stand up and say, I've done wrong. And I want to make it right. So would you please, Lord, help me make it right? What will you do with Jesus? So in Revelations, there's a beautiful invitation given here. Revelations, the third chapter. And the 20th verse, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." I've thought about that. The Lord doesn't turn the doorknob and walk in. Although he has the power to do that. He could walk through the door, really. But he doesn't. He stands and knocks. Because he is a gentleman. His approach is likable. It's not pushy. It's inviting. It's drawing. "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. And we'll sup with him, and he with me." I thought about suppers, meals together. There's something that can be learned from one another when we eat together. There's just something really special about that. It gives you a chance to know a person better. And the Lord's saying, I want you to know me better. I know you. But let's sup together, because I want to know you better. I want you to know me better. I'm sorry, I said it wrong. I want you to know me better. What will you do with Jesus? Are you just going to let him stand there and knock? Are you just going to lock the door, double lock it so he can't get in? Or are you going to open it and say, I will open my heart's door gladly and crown him there today? There's a proper heart response, and that's the one I want to have too. So I desire that you pray for me.